Morning, everybody. If I could direct your attention to the passage of scripture that Monty read, we're going to look this morning at verses 8 through 11. If you're visiting with us, we are going through a study on the book of 1 Corinthians. And we've been in this study for a little over 10 months. And we're on this 12th chapter. And we're just taking our time going through it. And this week, we're going to take a look at verses 8 through 11. And we're going to look at the varieties of spiritual gifts. This is not an exhaustive list, but it does cover. We started looking at them a couple of weeks ago. And spiritual gifts can be a very confusing thing, but the way the Bible presents it is very clear. It's very easy to understand. And it's very straightforward how these gifts are given into the body, what their functions are. We saw last week in verse 7, it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And that makes it very clear in Scripture that spiritual gifts are given for the benefit of the whole body, to where the whole body of Christ profits from it. Not an individual thing. It's not a self-type thing. It's for the whole body to benefit from it. The gifts fall into two major and broad categories, if you will. You have the building gifts, which help build the body up, things such as prophecy, knowledge, wisdom, teaching, exhortation, discernment, faith, mercy, helps, giving, leadership, all those things. And then you have those gifts that are primarily sign gifts, healings, miracles, languages, and interpretation of languages or tongues. And so we're going to look at both categories today and see how they fit in the body and try to clarify some of this, okay? So let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll begin our study. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to gather here and pray for your divine direction and guidance as we look to your scripture. Direct us in our understanding. Direct me in my teaching. Help me to rightly divide your word of truth. Help me to explain your word of truth clearly and accurately. Keep me from error, I do pray. And pray for the edification of your people as we look at these passages. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. We look at the gifts that are listed here. Paul's going to work through these categories. So let's just go ahead and start with verse 8. It says, for to one is given the word of wisdom. Now, when he says to one, what he's talking about is within the whole body of Christ, two individuals, these gifts are given. Not that just one person in the body has this gift. I want you to understand that. It means to one. And that's playing off of what he says in verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Then he says, for to one is given, meaning how God distributes to each individual within the body. So he says two right here. He says, for one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Now, he uses that phrase twice. He says in verse 8, through the Spirit, and then at the end there, through the same Spirit. My translation, I'm in the New King James. What he is showing is that gifts come to individuals through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God distributes gifts to individuals. And people often ask, well, why is that important? Because gifts are operative in the body through the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit empowers people to exercise their gift. Why would that be important? Well, that would be important, folks, because there's a lot of confusion on that. I've got books in my office that I collected over the years that will teach people how to do certain gifts. One in particular is the gift of tongues. It says how to speak in tongues. I was like, whoa, hang on, brother. I thought that was the Spirit's job. And I read my Bible and I said, oh, it is the Spirit's job. It's just people will come up with those kind of things. spiritual gifts are done by the Spirit. So he says, too, in this passage, he says, the word of wisdom, he says, to one the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge. What is the word of wisdom? Well, the word there for word of wisdom is logos sophia. Sophia being the word for wisdom, logos being the word for word that we commonly use. So what is a word of wisdom? A word of wisdom is the ability to understand and make application of the scriptures. Okay? Wisdom in the Bible, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is the understanding of information, okay? You gain knowledge, you gain understanding, okay? Wisdom is the application, all right? A wise man is a man that applies the word of God to his life, okay? James says, don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers. And what James means is, you hear the word of God and you apply it. You become a person of wisdom, become a wise person, okay? I think a pastor, most pastors that are any good, should have the word of wisdom functioning. That is the ability to make application with the word of God, how to teach the Bible and show people how to apply it to their life. Well, I understand what you're saying, Pastor, but how do I apply that? How do I use that? Well, that takes wisdom to show. I think also in counseling, godly counselors have the word of wisdom, the ability to apply the word of God. Now, I know quite often in our day and age, you'll hear a lot of people that claim to exercise this word of wisdom. And you'll hear things such as, oh, I've got a word of wisdom. Okay, and it's like they get a telepathic message that comes to them personally for another person. And I'm like, really? I said, where did you get that in the Bible? I said, because the Bible says that the gifts of the Spirit are given for the profit of all. They're not for private interpretation. And yet most of the time people use that, they use it for a private interpretation of Scripture. And yet Scripture itself says that is not the function nor the purpose of spiritual gifts. A word of wisdom is not some special message that a person receives from God for another person. That's not how it functions. A word of wisdom is simply what the definition says. The ability to apply the word of God. It's an understanding of how to apply the word of God is what it is. It's come to mean something far different to a lot of people, okay? It's come to mean something that I don't think the Bible ever intended it to mean, but people get that. Now, quite often in your own personal life, you may study the Word of God, you may pray, you may spend time researching the Bible, and you know what? God will grant you personal insight. God will grant you, how do I apply this to my personal life, okay? That's the work of the Spirit. That's not a word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is a spiritual gift, and the word of wisdom is for the whole body. It's to benefit a group of people, okay? That's the purpose behind it. Then he says to another, the word of knowledge. Now, what is the word of knowledge? The word of knowledge is the ability to understand mysteries and revelation. Knowledge is the ability to understand the Scriptures. Wisdom is the ability to apply the Scriptures. These are not some specialized gift where someone prays and then they say, oh, I got a word of knowledge. I got a word of wisdom. I've seen people that'll say this. Oh, God just gave me a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. And I'm like, where are you getting this from? Where is this coming from? Because as I understand a spiritual gift, it's the function for the whole body. It's given to one for the profit of all. It's given to one for the benefit of the body. It's given to edify and build up the body of Christ. So a word of knowledge would be the ability to understand mysteries in Scripture. What are some of the mysteries in Scripture? Well, look in Ephesians chapter 3. beginning in verse 1. We'll look at 1 real quick. Ephesians 3:1, Paul says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if indeed you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me for you, how that by revelation," what is revelation? That's God revealing something. "How by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, by which you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." What was the mystery? The mystery was the church, that God was bringing the Gentiles the truth of God. It wasn't going to be the Jews only. Now it was going to be the Gentiles. And so it took knowledge, took a word of knowledge to understand that, to gain that insight. It's not something you're going to just pick up on your own. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians 1, verse 26. Now I'm going to begin in verse 24. He says, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you." What is his stewardship from God? It's his apostleship to the church, okay? "To fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to him saints." In other words, the knowledge of those things that are hidden. Okay? In other words, what is the mystery? I have a word of knowledge, and that word of knowledge helps me to gain insight to what the mystery is. Word of knowledge is to understand the word of God. Word of wisdom is to apply the word of God. Okay? That's all it is. It's a gift. And if you're going to be a minister of the gospel and you're going to teach the word of God, you got to know, first of all, you got to understand the word of God. Number two, you got to know how to make application. There are some Bible teachers that are very gifted in the area of wisdom, of applying the word of God. Two that greatly influenced me growing up. One was Charles Stanley, very, very gifted. He can come up with one passage of scripture, he can come up with dozens of applications. Amazing the insight that he has. John MacArthur is good at applicational truth like that. Chuck Swindoll, those are good applicational word of wisdom type. Word of knowledge, I had some masters when I was in seminary that were just extremely knowledgeable. Ability to understand and to grasp broad concepts in scripture and explain them in theological understanding of what is the Bible saying in this particular incident. And I'm talking about in some very difficult passages in the scripture. Bam! Just instant knowledge, very good knowledge of what the Bible does. But I do not believe that neither the word of wisdom nor the word of knowledge is some sudden explosion of an understanding in your mind that you need to share. Okay, I don't see the Bible teaching that. I don't see that. I've had people do that and say, "Brother, I got a word of knowledge for you." And I said, "Okay, let me hear it." Why is that important, folks? Let me tell you why. God is not given new revelation. The Bible is very clear. God is not adding to Scripture. And anytime a person gets revelation from God, folks, that is adding to Scripture, is what it is. Bottom line, it's that simple. You have to, remember when we first started this, I told you that he gave you a test right up here in the very front in 1-3. He says, you can't say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. And a person that's guided by the Spirit of God is not going to say Jesus is accursed. What that simply is saying is that in the exercise of spiritual truth, you're going to have a plumb line to go by. What is a plumb line? A known point of origin. The Bible is your plumb line. And so you've got to have a known point of origin. And the idea is this. If a person comes and they have some revelation. The only way for you to know if it's of God is to break open the Bible. You don't have any other way of knowing. The Bereans write that Paul was teaching. They diligently searched the Old Testament to see if what he was saying was true. And Paul acknowledged them and praised them for that. But they were going to their plumb line, their known point of origin, okay? Jesus warned us. He said, beware, because there will be many wolves come to you in sheep's clothing, okay? So as believers, I have to, in this day and age, know and understand, how do I know this is from God? Well, I've got one thing, folks, and that's the Word of God, okay? And the Word of God tells me that. So if someone tells me something and I can find it in the Word of God, I don't need it. I've already got it. And if they tell me something and I can't find it in the Word of God, I don't need it. So that's why you don't need additional revelation. Second of all, there's a great warning against additional revelation of the Bible. God warns against that. So a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom is simply understanding and applying the Word of God. Okay? Verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, what's that mean? Doesn't everyone have faith? You bet. You've got to have faith to be a believer. You have to have faith. Okay? But what he's talking about here is people that have the gift of faith have the ability through faith to believe God for great things. I give you a good book to read without having to go into great detail. George Mueller, who was a missionary to inland China. Great, great, great man of faith. And he could sit there and he would pray for things. He'd say, we need to pray for that because God is going to bring that. He was a great man of faith, okay? The gift of faith. Most prayer warriors, most really good prayer warriors have the gift of faith. They have the ability to discern that God is doing something great, okay? He said, but that comes by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. Now, I want to deal with two of these together, and that is healing and miracles together. And I'm going to preface it by saying this. God heals, okay? And God does the miraculous, okay? If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't pray for people when they were sick. You understand? People go to the hospital and they say, pray for me, brother. I say, I'll pray for you. Why am I praying for them? I'm praying for them because I believe healing comes from God. I'm praying for them because I believe miracles come from God. And I don't know when God's going to choose to perform a miracle. I don't know when God is going to choose to heal someone. But there is a truth in Scripture about healing and about miracles. It's very important to understand that the majority of passages that deal with healings and miracles come at specific times in Scripture. And they're almost always coming to authenticate the actions of a person. And I will go over those briefly. I'm going to illustrate this out for you in the future. I've got a little telestrator and I can graph it for you. You can see it and makes it very clear. But just visualize. You have a great number of miracles during the time of Moses. What was Moses doing? He's taking people out of the land of Egypt. 400 years of prophetic silence in the land. Moses is claiming to be a man sent from God to lead the children of Israel. Well, how are they going to believe that? Moses can tell them stuff all day, but what did he do? He accomplished great miracles and great signs in what he was doing to authenticate. The miracles authenticated the message that he did. You see a few miracles, Joshua, Judges, you can follow them through. You'll see miracles pop up. But you see a lot of miracles come about during the time of Elisha and Elijah. They were getting revelation from God. They were the prophets of God. And they did a lot of miracles in their time period. Then you don't see a lot of miracles again until when? The time of Christ and the apostles. Christ comes on the scene, you see a lot of miracles done. The apostles come on the scene, you see a lot of miracles done. And then towards the end of the ministry of the apostles, you don't see a lot of miracles done. You see them kind of tail off. And then you see a lot of miracles pop up again when? The book of the Revelation, the end of the ages. Okay? You see that happen. So, what was the purpose and function? Let's look first of all at the healing miracles that were done. Well, if you'll notice towards the end of Paul's ministry, Paul didn't heal a lot of people. In other words, what I'm saying, I'm not saying that the gift of healings does not exist, but I am saying this, I don't see it as operative now in the church as it was in the early church, all right? That God heals through people. God still heals, but as far as this gift being possessed by people in the church, number one, Paul had an affliction and he didn't heal himself, okay? There's one right there. Number two, Philippians 2:27, Epaphroditus. He was very concerned of Epaphroditus. He said, for indeed he was sick, almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sown sorrow upon sorrow. And then you have the situation where he speaks to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5 and 23. And what does he say there? He says, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. He didn't heal Timothy. It's towards the end of his ministry, one of the last books written. And then you see him speaking of Trophimus in 2 Timothy 4:20. And when he speaks of Trophimus, he says, Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Paul didn't heal him. You don't see him healing him towards the end of his ministry there. Why is that? The healing gifts were primarily to confirm the word of God early in the ministry. That's what they were used for. Okay? And yet, you see people today that claim that they are faith healers or that they can heal people, that they possess the ability to heal people. Okay? And you see a lot of people saying that. Look, folks, when God healed people, they were healed. Okay, you understand? They were healed. They got up and ran, and they've been crippled for years. Their eyes were open. They were blind, and they could see. I'm not saying that God cannot step in and make a miraculous healing, but I don't believe he's doing it through people today. I have not seen valid evidence of it. You follow up most of these healing meetings that people have, they go back and check when most people are sick later on, okay? They're not healed. They're not healed. They'll be sick later on. And one of the things that kills me about these healers and stuff is when they go in there and do that, they'll say, well, you know, the Bible says if you got faith, you should be healed. Let me put my reading glasses on and see. I'm like, well, heal your eyes, brother. Heal the bald spot on your head. I mean, start with yourself. Let's get a little self edification going here on these gifts that you're doing. It's kind of ridiculous. It's kind of bizarre, but you don't see a lot of that anymore. And a lot of people, when you say that, they get upset. Y'all worked up in a lather and start hollering and screaming and stuff. Listen, you got to go by what the Word of God says. You can't go by what your emotions or your feelings dictate. You got to go by what the Word of God says. The Word of God doesn't say they aren't healing, but the Word of God does validate that towards the end of the apostles' ministry, healing was not as prominent as it was early in the ministry. Okay? That's all I'm arguing. That's all I'm saying right now. Same thing with miracles. You see miracles done. Let's look at the life of Jesus. Look at John chapter 2. John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 11. It says, the beginning, this is Jesus at Cana of Galilee. The beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. What does that mean? That means he revealed his glory. He put his glory on display. What is glory? Who he is. So what that's telling you is that his miracles validated who he was. Why is that important? Folks, Jesus is claiming to be God. And there were a lot of people claiming to be God in that day and age. There were a lot of false prophets that had come out into the world. Jesus said so himself. Paul wrote about them. So there was a lot of them. So you got to validate who you are. If you've come from God, you can do the works of God. The beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Look at the end of John. Look in John chapter 20, verse 30 with me. John chapter 20, verse 30. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. In other words, he did a lot of them. But look at this. But these are written, why? So that you can have perfect divine healing? No. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In other words, the miracles gave validation to who he was. And believing, you may have life in his name. When Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, what did he say about Jesus in Acts chapter 2? Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 22. He said, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him." How did they know he was God? How did they know he was Messiah? He was attested by miracles, wonders, and signs right in their midst. Now let's look at the apostles. Look at Second Corinthians 12:12. Look what that passage says in relationship to the apostles, because the apostles did miracles too. 2 Corinthians 12:12. Truly, the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance, and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Okay? I think that makes that text very clear that the apostles had signs and wonders and mighty deeds done what? To validate they were truly apostles. Because remember, anyone could claim to be an apostle. Any of them could. And then you see Acts 14 and 3. It says, "Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands." Why was that the case? Well, verse 1 says it happened in Iconium, but they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude of both Jews and Gentiles believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their mind against the brethren. In other words, they came in, they tried to turn them against them. These are false teachers. These are false speakers. Don't listen to them. The apostles keep speaking, and God validates their message by giving them miracles, signs, and wonders. That's what he was doing. So, all I'm saying is this. Miracles and healings are not as common today as they were in the foundation of the church. I'm not saying they ceased or that they don't exist. I'm just saying they're not as common, okay? God can choose to do a miracle anytime he chooses. God can heal anytime he chooses, okay? Now, he's not doing it primarily through gifts of people, though. I would greatly welcome one with a gift of healing in this body. I would love to have someone, because I would take them around to visit sick people all the time in the hospitals. And we would see people restored and made whole as a result of it. But folks, God didn't heal in the Bible to make people well. That was one of the benefits of it. But he healed people in the Bible to validate who he was. Read the ministry of Jesus. He'd be in villages doing healings and stuff. And the next morning, there'd be great multitudes coming. The disciples said, "What are we going to do today?" He said, "We're going to a different town." "Why? You got all these people coming. We're going to a different town. Let's go. I'm validating who I am. I'm not out here trying to make everyone well." Why? Because they're all going to die one day. Everyone's going to die one day. Or the Lord will come back. I mean, one or the other. But the majority of people in here are going to die from some kind of sickness or illness. That's just the nature of sin. Your body just runs down. Okay? Sometimes you get infections. Sometimes you get diseases. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. That's the consequences of a fallen world. I hope and pray I don't get a disease. I hope and pray I don't get a sickness. And I hope and pray you don't either. But it's just a fact of life that we're going to, because we live in that kind of a world. Okay? He says, to another, prophecy. And what is prophecy? I'm going to spend a lot of detail of that in chapter 14, but prophecy there is preaching, is what it is. Speak forth and proclaim is what it is. Not subjective, but preaching objective truth. That's what Scripture will reveal. Same thing he says here. He says, to another, discerning of spirits. What is the discerning of spirits? To discern the spirits means to separate out the real from the fake. Okay? Real from the false. To understand truth from error. 1 John 4:1. What does he say? 1 John 4:1. He says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So discerning of spirits is the ability to discern true spirits from false spirits. All right? I think also the discerning, or this discerning of spirits, would come in handy in places such as 1 Corinthians 6:5, settling disputes in the church. The ability to discern between two. Because Paul says, doesn't one of you possess the ability to judge between the two, to discern, to make a judgment, is the idea that he uses there. And then he comes to the last one. He says, to another, different kinds of tongues, and to another, different interpretations of tongues. What are tongues? Glossolalia. It's languages. It's what it is. It's not some ecstatic utterance. It's not some gibberish. It's not, you know, someone fired up sound like a human cricket or something. It's communicating the word of God is what it is. It's communicating the truth of God is what it is. It's not some ecstatic, undiscernible utterance. That is not what the Bible refers to as languages. Glossolalia, languages or dialects. Okay? That's what it refers to. Now, what was the function and purpose of languages and dialects? Well, we're going to spend a lot of time, I mean a detailed amount of time, in chapter 14 on this. I'm going to graph it out for you. I'm going to chart it out for you. Make it perfectly clear. I'm going to take you all the way back into the Gospels, Matthew 12 and 13, and show you where Jesus warned of an evil and adulterous generation seeking after a sign. He said, there's going to be a sign given to them. Okay? I'm going to take you all the way to Isaiah and show you where he said there's going to be a sign given to you. What was one of those signs? One of those signs of coming judgment was the Jews were going to hear people speak in other languages. Okay? It was a sign for the Jews. Second of all, it was to communicate truth to people in other languages for the benefit of the whole body. Why? Because he says you don't do it unless there's someone there to interpret it so that everyone benefits from it. Okay? It's not a bunch of people gibbering off at one time, and it's not people doing it as a prayer language. That is not biblical. That is not supported by the biblical text as revealed in Scripture. Okay? So that is not the gift of tongues. I'm not saying there's some people that don't do that. I'm just telling you that's not the gift of tongues. Because the gift of tongues is the gift of languages, is what it is. And that's clear in Scripture, okay? And the ability to interpret those languages. All right? And then he concludes with this. He said, and we're going to look at it in detail, okay? Verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. In other words, it is the Holy Spirit who empowers all of this to take place. Hence, go back to your warning passages up there in verse 3, and that is, the Spirit of God will never operate a gift contrary to what the Scripture says. Nobody by the power of the Spirit can say Jesus is accursed. Okay? Nobody by the power of the Spirit will exercise a gift contrary to what the Bible says. Why? Because the Bible comes from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not going to contradict himself. Very clear. And so he says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. Matter of fact, in these four verses, 8, 9, 10, 11, five times he says or makes reference to the Holy Spirit as the giver of gifts. He's driving home a point that this is not something you do. It's something the Spirit does through you. One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one, in other words, everyone in the body has gifts, individually as He wills. Okay? In other words, you have whatever gift you have because that's the gift God chose for you to have. Okay? Now, what would you think of people that ask for gifts? You know, sometimes people do that. Kids do it all the time. Daddy, what are you going to get me for my birthday? What am I going to get for Christmas? But what do you think of adults that ask you for a gift? Are you going to get me a gift? You think, you are an odd individual. A gift is something I give according to my own will and purpose, right? You better believe it. And no, God doesn't give spiritual gifts according to what you ask. He gives spiritual gifts according to what He wills. He distributes as He wills. Not as you desire, not as I desire. But He gives individually as He wills. Okay? Another very confusing teaching about spiritual gifts is you are to ask God for specific gifts. You'll hear people teach that, folks. And primarily it relates to tongues. You're to ask God for that. And what they do is they take scriptures out of context and try to make multiple applications of it. And I've read all those passages and understood them all. Matter of fact, when I was going through Bible college and seminary, I spent a 4 or 5 year period, folks, when I went and watched front row with the top healers in the United States, quote unquote, alleged healers in the United States, on the front row in churches to discern, to see what was going on and compare it to Scripture. Why? Because I'm not going to sit up and say that's not of God. If it's of God, I want a part of it, man. If that's what God's doing, I want in on it and I want to be a part of it. Same thing with miracles and stuff like that. I drove all over going to those things. And I can tell you, folks, it doesn't match Scripture. It didn't match Scripture. So very gifted tricksters and charlatans, but it didn't match Scripture. Bottom line, it doesn't match it. Very clearly, it doesn't match it. I'm not saying God does not heal. I'm not saying God does not do miracles. I'm just saying be cautious in what people claim to do. Because the Bible is very clear on what is. He says he distributes individually as He wills. Why? It's His body. It's not man's church, it's God's church. And folks, when it's God's church, God puts the gifts where He desires the gifts to be for the fulfillment and the function of the body. The gifts in the church at Corinth, what was the purpose of them? You're going to see yet again in chapter 14, it was for personal recognition and edification. Selfishness. Because the church at Corinth was not a healthy church. What does a healthy church have? A healthy church is an energizing church. A healthy church has good fellowship, has good worship, has good evangelism, loves one another, is obedient, is submissive, is serving. Church of Corinth wasn't doing any of that stuff, folks. And the idea is every believer in this body has spiritual gifts. And you know what? If you're not exercising your spiritual gift in this body, the body is lacking in some area. And you should be exercising your spiritual gifts. You say, well, I don't know what they are. The best way to find out is to get involved in ministry, which is service to others, and utilize it. Because look what he says. Verse 6 and 7, there are diversities of activities. Verse 5 and 6, I'm sorry. There are diversities of activities and there are differences of ministries. In other words, you can have the gift of teaching and that doesn't mean you're going to teach adults. You may teach children. You may teach youth. You may teach inmates at the prison. You may teach homeless people at a shelter. You may teach people in large groups outside the church body. It can be utilized in a wide variety of ways. In other words, God can take gifts that he has given to people, and there's a difference of ministries, and there's also diversities of activities. In other words, they can be used in a wide array of things. Why? Because God is a God of diversity. God is a God of differences. God is thrilled doing that. Just look at his creation. I was sitting out yesterday watching my hummingbirds on my little feeder. And this time of the year, about 1st of August, when the ruby throats migrate down here. And I was watching these ruby throats, and there were like 6 females and about 5 males out there flying around that feeder going back and forth and watching them. And I was thinking, man, what a wide variety. And you realize that there is a lot of different hummingbirds, a lot of different birds, but there are a lot of different hummingbirds too. A lot of different varieties. Around here off that one feeder, I've identified 17 different varieties of hummingbirds off that one feeder. Now, most people, they just look like hummingbirds. But when you know what you're looking for on distinguishing marks, there's a wide variety of them. Wide variety of them. Okay? That's how God is. God makes a lot of variety, a lot of differences, a lot of things. Same thing with this body. A lot of different people, a lot of different gifts, a lot of different ministries to do what? To where every little niche, crook, cranny of the body is fulfilled because it's God's body. God provides for his body. Okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word and your grace in our life. We thank you for all your many blessings. And Lord, we pray that we would exercise the gifts you've given us to help the body grow for the edification. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.